Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, and please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Hello, friends of Fly Fishing Journeys. Before I get into today's podcast with Emily Whitlock, I wanted to share from the heart some feelings I've been having as of late. This has been an interesting spring, to say the least. When I last connected with many of you was the Lancaster Fly Fishing Show. We had huge plans for an amazing year, and then everything started to get shut down, social distancing became the norm, and staying at home began to be a priority to lower the rate of infection of COVID-19. It no doubt has been a difficult time. Our country is and will continue to face challenges as we work together to get through this. I was supposed to be heading to Belize at the end of the week with my good friends Ben Frimsky and Sheldon James at Sheldon's place at Tarpon Cay Lodge. I was supposed to be chasing my first ever tarpon, as well as hunting permit and bonefish, enjoying the colorful and stilted huts that look over the flats on that beautiful cay. But unfortunately, we had to postpone. Is it a bummer? Sure it is. But me missing this and probably more trips this spring and summer is not the end of the world. What really bothers me is the challenges that many of my friends like Sheldon and many other lodge owners and small businesses within the fly fishing community face with the cancellation of their entire spring business and maybe more. I look forward to the day when this is all behind us and we can start traveling again and enjoying one another's company and being what we're so good at, the fly fishing community. One thing we'll want to be mindful of is supporting one another. Specifically, if you have a destination trip planned, if at all possible, try not to cancel it and work with the lodge or outfitter to reschedule it. I know how much work goes into getting these trips scheduled and planned, so I know all the lodges that we work with are being super accommodating at just rescheduling trips as needed. As we all are, I'm saddened for the kids who are missing all their events this spring. Especially the seniors like my son CJ, who will turn 18 this May, who's missing the last semester of his senior year, missing senior prom, having a Zoom birthday party, and maybe even a virtual graduation. What a bummer. The best we can do is rally support around these kids, lift each other's spirits, and be productive as possible through this and make plans for some amazing times ahead. Now for some really cool announcements. The Fly Fishing Journeys team has been diligently working on a custom app, and I am proud to announce that the app has been launched and has been approved on the Apple App Store. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, I'm asking for your help. If you can go to the App Store, even right now, and download the Fly Fishing Journeys app, I would greatly appreciate it. It will have direct access to all the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast. You can stream the podcast directly from the app or download it within the app for listening to later without Wi-Fi access. You can connect to the Fly Fishing Journeys video channel and watch the vlogs and videos. Finally, you can connect to the custom Facebook style community we have recently relaunched. That takes me to my second big announcement. Fly Fishing Journeys has relaunched a fly fishing community right on the Fly Fishing Journeys website. Here you can build your profile, connect with other friends, share stories, share posts and photos, and network with other fly fishermen from around the world. I say relaunch because flyfishingjourneys.com has had a community for a bit and people were using and enjoying it. The problem was it was not really that mobile friendly, so the best way to use it was on a laptop or desktop. We know that people are using their phone for a majority of their social networking, and because of that, it was hard to truly promote the community. Now that the app has been launched on the Apple App Store and the community is easily accessible and functional within the app, I'm proud to finally promote this cool facet within the Fly Fishing Journeys community. Just another fun and functional way we can stay connected. I would be really encouraged if you could go online to flyfishingjourneys.com or download the app and create an account on the community. Start interacting with one another and let me know what you think. We want to continue to make big improvements to the app and we need your feedback. I want to thank my beta testers who offered me some great insight and initial feedback on the beta version. Kit Brown of Tide to Fly, Gary Hankey of the Alberta Fly Fishing Community, Braden Miller of Miller Time Flies, Joe Nash, one of my friends from Pennsylvania, Steve Sunick of Ghost Tech Strike Indicators, Jeremy Lobel of Watermaster Rafts, Kenny Arnett of 7K Anglers on the San Juan River in New Mexico, and finally, your favorite fly tying instructor and mine, Tim Camisa of Trout and Feather. Thanks for all the help, guys, in getting the app off the ground. please download it and leave us a rating and review. That helps people find it more readily through the App Store algorithm. Thank you. And as a side note, we will have an app in the Google Play Store for all of our Android friends soon. Speaking of community business, I would like to thank my sponsors for their support. Norvice and Bissell are our lead podcast sponsors and our amazing companies. Norvice is a fantastic vice and clearly is the most innovative fly tying system on the market. It's the only vice that I know of that not only rotates, but spins, making fly tying easier and faster. You can find them at nor-vice.com. Bissell Insurance is the leading insurance agency in the fly fishing community. They are the only approved insurance agency for AFTA, the American Fly Fishing Trade Association. Art and his team are amazing to work with. You can find them at BisselInsuranceAgency.com. Today on the podcast, we speak to Emily Whitlock of Dave and Emily Whitlock. We learn about how Emily and Dave met, what Dave's preferred medium of painting is, some of their environmental efforts on the White River in Arkansas, and about Dave's legacy as an artist and a fly fishing ambassador. Coming off our chat with Joe Humphreys, I'd say we're on quite a roll. We recorded this podcast prior to the outbreak of COVID-19, so much of their spring activities were unfortunately canceled. I did leave this section in so you could still hear what typically keeps the Whitlocks active in the fly fishing community. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being an active part of the Fly Fishing Journeys community.
I am so happy to have Emily Whitlock of the dynamic duo of Emily and Dave Whitlock here on the podcast. Emily, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rob. It's nice to be here.
That is exciting because we have so much great stuff to talk about with you and Dave and your history in fly fishing. I have been told that Dave is our elder spokesman at this point in the entire fly fishing industry.
Well, he probably is.
Yeah. I want to read you some notes that I have posted, that I posted that we're doing this podcast here in Atlanta today on our Facebook page a bit ago, and some really interesting comments from our Facebook fans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I said that we're going to be podcasting, and Kit Brown of Texas said, love those two. Most gracious people I have ever met.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what
Thanks, Kit.
Yeah.
How nice.
And Jacob Patterson said he had coffee out of his Salmo Truta mug this morning.
Yay.
And Dennis Purrier says, Dave is a great inspiration to many fly fishermen, including me. He is the father of all tires and fly fishermen. Dave wrote me a letter once and took time out of his day to write some artwork on the envelope.
Oh, you know what? He is just such a consummate artist. He loves it so much that almost every letter he writes, he does that. He draws a fish on the outside or the inside. I love to see that.
On the books too, and you know, he's inscribed the inside of the latest book
right.
Here, and he had such a nice letter to me personalized, and he wrote this beautiful letter, and he also made a beautiful trout.
Oh, yes.
Feeding on the water, on the fly. So he takes time out of his day, you know, here at the shows to autograph books and don't just kind of sign his name or scribble. He writes a whole personalized letter and then does some artwork with it, and it's really inspirational to many people.
You know, he does, and sometimes we hear after the show closes almost because he takes so much time with each one that, hey, that's what he's doing all day long usually.
Yeah. How did you and Dave meet?
Well, we met around 1980 in an aerobics club.
Oh, really? Dave does aerobics, huh?
He used to. It was a co-ed class, and we just had known each other for 10 years.
Right.
And then in, I think it was 89. It was 89. Both of our marriages had split up, and I was headed back to college to work on a PhD in botany.
Okay.
He knew I liked to fish. I didn't fly fish yet. He just invited me to lunch one day before I went off to school. He was just such a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
He actually is a real romantic. And, you know, he just kind of started stealing my heart.
That's wonderful.
And so I went to school for a year and saw him off and on. And he invited me. He said, listen, because I really wanted to do work in environmental work.
Mm-hmm.
He said, come and work with me for a year. And I think that you can do a lot of that kind of work.
Environmental work.
Yeah, in the fly fishing field. And then if you don't like it, you can go back to school.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
And he taught me. Of course, he started teaching me to fly fish. And we started, after a couple of years, I started teaching with him. And at the same time, we were able to make some difference in some laws in Arkansas about open-cut mining. Miners were going in and getting gravel out of beautiful little streams, pristine smallmouth streams, but they didn't stop at that. They would take the riparian areas out, and where a stream might be 100 yards wide or 100 feet wide, depending on the... Then it became a quarter of a mile wide, yeah. And it was just, they were destroying the streams, and it took about 15 years, but the laws were finally changed, and, you know, I did get to do that. I got a little cynical, only in the sense that I was real naive, and I thought that if you see something wrong in the environment and you go to the people in charge, they can do something about it, or they right. will do something about it. And it's so political
yeah.
that it, you know, it just takes a long time to
get anything done.
It's
a little bit of red tape there.
A whole bunch of red tape. But it's okay. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
And so when was that? When did you and Dave meet? How long you've been married now?
We met in 89. We got married in 91. And so we've been married 28 years, almost 28 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I love about your booth, and thank you for taking a few minutes away from your booth, but... What I love about your booth when I come over there, Emily, is like when I walk by, it looks like a giant art gallery.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's hopefully what it is, because we have all of Dave's prints. And then we have mugs with art on them, and we have coasters, and we have note cards, and, you know, all that. We try to make products that have great art that make people feel good when yeah. they use them. And think about fly fishing even when they can't fish.
It's really neat, too. Well, we'll talk about the mugs, but specifically on the art, when you say prints, but these are all beautifully framed, and you have them displayed on the wall so elegantly, and then you have this beautiful lighting that you really look like you're in an art gallery when you're looking at your booth, and you walk by many booths, and there's so many gorgeous booths here, but to have an art gallery...
Yeah.
Here at the booth with Dave Whitlock's stuff, and it is so cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you're right about the lighting. It just changes everything, mm-hmm. especially with art. It's really important
Absolutely.
To have good light on it.
How did Dave start in his painting? Like, what inspired him to paint from the beginning?
Oh, my gosh. He says now, it's kind of funny, he says he used to get spankings for what he gets paid for now. Because
wow.
he...
That's
from
different.
Just the beginning, and what I mean is when he was in grade school, he would write in his book. I mean, he'd draw in his book.
Oh, he was doodling.
When the teacher would go out of the room, he'd jump up and draw something on the chalkboard.
Right.
So he was always getting in trouble, but he drew all the time, and he's never had any lessons, but he just loves it so much, and he draws now. I mean, I guess he probably has all his life. He's drawn every day or painted. He's illustrated... Well, 5 of our books, but over 25 other books. And
for other people.
For other people. And then all the articles that he's ever done, he's done the photography, or we have done the photography, and he's done the artwork. And, you know, it's just in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in him. And he can sit at his studio for 10 hours. I have to drag him off to lunch. And
just paint.
And paint or draw. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it so much.
What are the mediums that Dave uses?
Well, his favorite is fine art pencil, colored pencil. And most of his art is that because, I mean, he's a realist.
Mm-hmm.
He also tends to put some personality into fish a lot of times, but he wants it to look like that fish. He wants the scales to be right. He wants the colors to be right. And with pencil... He can do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's got the fine points and all the different colors, and he can blend them, and so that's his favorite. Now, he also does acrylic sometimes, especially for big pieces. He's getting ready to do a 6-foot by 24-foot scene of the White River, the fish in the White River, and that'll be acrylic. And he's done oil before. He's not that fond of oil, but he will still do oil.
Just to have some.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to the White River, because I know you guys have been down to that section quite a bit within Arkansas.
Oh, we lived there. Yeah.
So we want to talk and tell our listeners about the White River, because many of our listeners may not know about that. So we want to give them some firsthand knowledge there. But going back to the medium, so his preferred medium is that fine
pencil, colored pencil.
Right.
Once he draws that with that pencil on the paper, what happens to that picture to get it to be on a mug? Like, how does that work?
Oh, okay. When we first started this together, we could not get good prints, because what you have to do from an original is then make prints of it. And we just had a hard time. So I learned how to become a printmaker.
Interesting.
And so what you do, you get a really high quality scanner. And so once you get the digital of it, then you can either make prints or you can take the digital and send it to the mug, you know, manufacturers or the imagers.
Right.
And they do coasters and they, you know, put it on other things. And so the key is to get a good digital image. But the nice thing is with me making the prints, then if he gets an original, he can bring it to me and I will do the digital and then make a print, take it to him, and then he and I can just tweak it and, mm-hmm. and to make it look like the original, because it's really funny how at first when you do prints, it you have to keep, you know, tweaking and changing because some colors don't print as well as others.
Mm.
So then once we get the print to where we like it, then I can make some prints. They're called G-clays.
G-clays.
And they're made on a special printer that uses ink that doesn't fade for 100 years, believe it or not, and really high-quality fine art paper. So actually, they last a lot better than lithographs used to. And then what happens, in our process anyway, I take the prints to Dave, and he hand enhances them, and that means that he goes over them, and he adds colored pencil to where he wants different colors to come out, and
on top of the print.
On top of the print, and then if there's any like fluorescent dots or anything, you know, like a lot of fish have the red spots,
the halos, or
yeah, and those don't print well. No printer does fluorescent type colors very well. Well, G clays don't. And so then he will take paint and add that on.
Interesting.
And so anytime the artist touches a print after it's printed, it makes it more valuable.
Right.
And then, but then he has to sign it, so you know that he did that. A limited edition print will have the signature from the original, his signature because he numbered it.
Mm-hmm.
And then down at the other end, if he enhances it, he puts enhanced by Dave.
Really neat. Yeah. Really neat.
So then it, you know, it's each one is kind of unique.
And then what about the originals?
Well, the originals, hopefully we sell. A lot of the originals are commissioned, but we always have the right to make the prints afterwards.
And are there still originals somewhere hanging on some wall around Dave's studio that could be purchased?
Yes. Yeah, we have a few originals. We sure do.
That's neat. And does Dave have like a home studio? Do you guys have a gallery or how?
Well, he has a home studio and mm-hmm. we have art up there. And sometimes people make appointments. It's not, we don't have like an open store or open gallery, but we have people come up. And then we also have a website store.
Mm.
It's just davewhitlock.com.
Yeah.
And we have a gallery on there.
It's always nice to have a gallery online. It's everybody can see it.
That's right. No, it's much better. And then we have some of the originals on there, and there'll be more on there soon.
Neat, neat. And speaking of home, you're currently in Oklahoma?
In northeast Oklahoma, in the Ozarks.
In the Ozarks.
We're not in the flat, hot part. We're in the, where there's, we have a trout stream in the backyard, and we have smallmouth streams all around us. And
fun.
Yeah, the eastern edge of Oklahoma is beautiful. It's mountainous. And
how long you've been out in Oklahoma?
We've been there 12 years.
12.
Dave was born in Muskogee, but he lived in Mountain Home. We both did. You know, I mean, we didn't even know each other at that time. I raised my family in Mountain Home, Arkansas. He lived there as a professional because of the White River.
Mm. And so he was in Arkansas. And so tell me about your work in the White River and in Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, the White River is an incredible tailwater trout stream. There's 80 miles of water there below the Bull Shoals Dam. When they first, it used to be a smallmouth stream before they dammed it. Okay, and then they put trout in as a mitigation mm-hmm. for the loss of the smallmouth. And at first, I mean, nobody fished for them. They didn't know how in that area. And so, but then when they found out, by that time the fish were giant. They, you know, average was 4 pounds, and they were wonderful. But there was also a very high limit, and you know that, and so a lot of them started getting caught. And what they thought was that the rainbows were disappearing because the browns, they decided that were cannibalistic and ate the rainbow, which, all fish eat,
sure,
some. But it wasn't that. It was the bad management of the fishing. So anyway, what they did was they asked everybody to kill all the browns that they got. Mm. So pretty soon the river had no browns. So then Dave had been doing some work on a box. It was a salmon nursery box that Dr. Vibert in France had produced or had invented. But it wasn't good for trout eggs. It wasn't set up. So he took it and redesigned it and put another compartment in it so that the eggs, when they hatch, fall down into this little nursery. And until the egg sac is absorbed, they can't escape. And so they're much safer for much longer.
Mm.
And so the rate of success of swim-up fry is wonderful with that box. So anyway, he finally got the Game and Fish to let him and other folks there put wild brown eggs in the river. And then several years later, they were catching 35, 40-pound browns that came from those boxes. In the White River, yes. And the White and the North Fork. The North Fork and the White come together, and so the fish swim both ways.
Yeah.
So it was a great success. They still stock it with hatchery browns, but it's the browns from the original eggs that are the wild browns, and they're the ones who reproduce in the river. And so now, actually, they just started, 5 years ago, started putting in Bonneville cutthroat eggs, and now they have a wild population of Bonneville cutthroats that people are catching up to 23 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this all started, it's called the Whitlock's Vibert Box?
Yep, Whitlock Vibert Box.
Yeah, and this is still happening, still using it. People are still using the box.
Yes, TU groups use it a lot, and it's used actually all over the world. So, a lot of places where some particular fish has disappeared, or there's a lot of reasons to do it. You know, you get permission from the state, and then Federation of Fly Fishers handles the boxes.
Okay.
And we have a video that teaches you how to do it.
And the video is actually on the website, right?
It's on the Federation website.
The Federation website.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I saw some pictures of the Vibert Box on your website.
Probably an article about it.
An article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Dave, actually, the last TU Trout magazine had a big article about it.
Yeah, Dave's been writing for Trout for a long time.
Every issue for a long time.
He's been in every issue for many years.
Yes.
Still. That's awesome.
He has a regular column. Yeah.
He's got a great partnership with Trout Unlimited.
Oh, they're a fantastic group.
Yeah.
And they do good work. And, you know, I mean, the
because that's your passion.
Yeah.
Is environmentalism.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really proud of them. And we're happy to work with the magazine.
Is Dave, so he actually has a new book, beautiful new book that I have. I wish I had a copy right here for the video, but I left it in Boston because I didn't want to keep traveling with it because he wrote such a nice insignia on inside for me. But it's a beautiful book. Why don't you tell Alyssa it's all about brook trout and char?
Yeah, it's called The Artful Profiles of Trout, Char, and Salmon. And then the flies that catch them.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you. It has a lot of his art in it. And the first, a little over half, is about all those fish. And, you know, just some good information so that you have a better understanding where those fish live.
Yeah.
What their kind of personality is, what they eat, and that sort of thing. And then it's a series of the classic flies that have been around for so long and that still catch fish, and kind of also how they evolved over the years, and who started them, who tied the first ones, and you know, and what they look like more in the modern time. I mean, there's wet flies and the original spider flies and the type of wolf flies.
Yeah.
You know, a huge variety.
It's a beautiful, beautiful book, and it's all about my favorite fish, too. The brook trout is my favorite fish.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're gorgeous.
That's why it's our logo.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And so to have that book, and it's like the genealogy of the brook trout and the trout and the salmon. It's that whole salmonoid genealogy there.
Yes.
And to have Dave break it down in such a way and to include his beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
It's like you're almost buying an art gallery in a book.
Well, you know, he wanted to have one place where a lot of his art was. You know, that might be nice enough to be a coffee table book.
It
and
is
I think
beautiful.
It, I think it worked out.
It's great. And tell our listeners one more time the name and how they can find it.
Okay. It's Artful Profiles of Trout, Char, and Salmon, and the Flies That Catch Them. And you can buy them at fly shops, but you can also buy them from us online at DaveWhitlock.com. And he'll sign them for you.
And then send it to you signed.
Yeah.
That's cool. Or you could buy them at a fly show.
You can buy them here.
Yep, at the Angler's Bookstore.
You can. You can. And at our booth here.
At the booth, yep. And Dave will sign it for you.
Yeah, oh yeah. He will. He won't let you get away without it.
That's awesome. Well, I know sometimes you actually have to leave it because he has several that he wants to sign. He's not scribbling it quickly.
Right.
He has several that he wants to sign with that personalization. So you buy it at your booth, and then you leave it for an hour or two, and then you come back and get it.
Yeah, you can go on and shop, and then when you come back, you can, you know,
have a beautiful
have a minute with him, and get your book.
Yeah, I even got a picture. So
good.
I stole a picture. He's such a humble and great man, and he's always willing to take time.
Yes. Oh, he is.
And I know he's feeling better. I talked to him a little bit at the show.
He is. He's just in case people don't know, he just went through some AFib problems, which he got over that pretty quickly, but in the process of a test, they damaged his larynx.
Mm.
And so his voice went away. And it's coming back, but it's a slow process.
Yeah.
And so it's still a kind of a rough, raspy voice. Mm-hmm. But he'll be all right.
He's doing well, and he sounds great at the show. He's getting
physically
better.
He's right back to where he was. So.
Well, that's good. Why don't we tell our listeners a little bit more of the different types of products that they can buy at the booth or online with the Whitlock artwork?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's, first of all, the art.
Yep, the
and
paintings.
And we have, we cover trout and char and salmon and bass. Oh, we have dragonflies. We have fly plates.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah. And then we have small prints, and we have some whimsical things because he's really good at that. He loves putting personality into fish, making them smile sometimes.
And the mugs.
Oh, yeah, and
the beautiful mugs. Well, I drink out of mine.
Oh, good. It's a big handle,
isn't it? It's a big handle, yeah. And I love the way when you look at it, you're holding it, you actually see so much of the print right there in front of you with the fly. And the trout rising to the water to the fly.
Yeah. They're printed on there. So you look, if you're right-handed,
you
look at the head of the fish. But then it wraps around the mug.
It does. And his signature is right there. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. And then we have some stationery. We have license plates with some of his, with trout and dragonflies on it. We have coasters. We have some of, Dave ties a few collector flies every year of his designs. And so we have some of those.
So if you want a Whitlock tie, you can come to the booth.
And he'll sign an authenticity card for you.
Neat.
So, you know, everyone will know from now on that it was actually tied by Dave.
And one of the new things I saw was the tying vise plate, the plate of the tying vise.
Yeah, we have vise bases that have, well, let's see what we have. The four trout, we have smallmouth, and a bluegill, and dragonflies.
Neat.
On that. When Dave got ill, we had to cancel our teaching, but we teach fly fishing at our place, and we have a casting pond and a trout stream. But we teach it in April and May and September and October. And so we already have quite a few people scheduled.
Neat.
For the spring. And so we're looking forward to that again. We missed it. We are going to go down to Texas and do a show in March.
Yep.
And then we'll do the Sowbug Roundup, which is a show in Mountain Home, Arkansas.
Okay.
At the end of March.
The Sowbug Roundup.
Yeah.
What's the Sowbug Roundup?
Well, it's a started out as just a tying event.
Okay.
But it has really grown. It has lots of vendors, two or three artists, actually. and still lots of fly tires, but lots of classes and casting instruction. And
neat.
Yeah, it's a really fun event.
Yeah.
And it's at the end of March.
Okay.
Last weekend in March. And then hopefully, in the meantime, and as soon as it warms up there, we'll be doing some fishing and canoeing.
Oh, yeah.
We have to do some of that, too.
Got
to
relax.
Yeah. Some travel. I'm going to go steelhead fishing with actually a girlfriend.
Where are you going steelheading? Up in the Pacific Northwest or into the Great Lakes?
British Columbia.
Okay.
At Bear Claw Lodge.
Wow.
It's the Kispy Ox, the Skeena, and the Bulkley.
Ooh, the real thing.
Oh, yeah. We went last year.
Do you spay cast?
I'm learning.
Good for you.
I worked on it we were there for 5 days. The last day, I finally got it down.
Good.
So hopefully it'll still be there.
That's awesome. Well, good luck with that. I hope you guys have a great time up there.
We will.
Send Fly Fishing Journeys a big, beautiful picture with you and a nice steelhead.
Okay. I'll do that.
And we'll post it on our Facebook page and stuff.
Okay.
That's awesome.
That's a good idea.
Well, the show is getting busy. It's getting started here, so I'm going to let you run to your show booth.
Okay.
And Emily, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be on the Fly Fishing Journey podcast. It's been great to hear about all the exciting things going on with you and Dave. Give our listeners your website one more time so they can find you.
Oh, okay. It's www.davewhitlock.com.
Thanks for being on the show, Emily.
Oh, thank you, Rob. It was fun.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. For past episodes, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us.